Praise the Lord. Just wanted to share again today on speech. This just been stirring strong in me. I think we, just as the Holy Ghost is sharing, even these words that Zena shared, I think we don't. I don't want to say we don't value our words, but I think most times we look at our words, our speech, more for communication rather than power, rather than creating something. And it's so, it's just strong in me again this time, this start of this year, that we are made in the image and likeness of God. So whether you believe it or not, whether you think so or not, you are God-like in the sense that you are a spirit, and the words that you speak and believe create. They will create. So they'll create something good, or it'll create something bad in your life, or not so good. In other words, you will put in motion what you speak. And so I think as we begin and embark on this new year, what are things, you know, examine? What is it you really desire? What is it that you want to do? You know, I was looking at some scripture the past few weeks, and there was something that, as many times, and I taught on something called the power of the seed, and I had looked at Luke chapter 8, but this time I spent a little time just looking at Matthew 13, and I thought, it's saying the same thing, isn't it? So here, when you go over to verse 18 in Matthew 13, and it's very interesting. I hadn't seen this before, and yet I hadn't taken the time, I guess, to just focus on that. But Matthew 13 and verse 18, it says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." And then what does it say? "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and what? Understandeth it not." You know, we need to sometimes stop when we read different translations, especially the King James. That word understandeth, because it goes on, it says, when you understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth the way that which is sown in the heart. And you go, well, man, I've not understood a lot of stuff. So does that just mean that the devil takes and steals what I don't understand? No, that's not what it means. When you look up the word understandeth in the Greek, and I know Minister Joe's over there looking it up on his app and looking at this, let's look at the Strong's real quick. Understandeth means to consider. Oh, that's a whole different thing. When you understandeth not, that means when I consider not that which is spoken, or I hear. Oh, well, when you look at the word consider, it means to come to, in other words, let me see if I can find it here. I jotted that down. Somebody, I'm going to take a quick, see if I jotted that down. Just hold steady, because I thought I did. When you consider, when I looked it up in the Merriam-Webster, it means to ponder something and to, I guess you could say, deliberate on something, and you ponder it to come to some decision or conclusion. I'm just going by memory. In other words, if I consider something, if I say something to you, you go, that's interesting, and you ponder it, you look it up, you ponder it, you meditate on it, and you come to a conclusion of what I've said to you. In other words, you either agree or you go, no, I don't agree. Well, that's a whole lot different. So when the word was spoken and you said, I reject it. When you go to Luke chapter 8, it says the seed that was sown by the wayside was trodden down. That word trodden means to reject it. It says the same thing. So when you hear the word and you reject it, then this is what it says. The devil comes and steals the word. So we don't realize, this is what we're talking about today, the words that we speak, when they're spoken or when they're heard and they're received into your heart and they're watered and faith comes and it's spoken, it creates. Because God's word is incorruptible. And it must produce. He said the seed is like, what did he say? He said the like the rain that cometh from heaven, and it returns not thither, but does what? It accomplishes that which I please. And he watches over his word to perform it and bring it to pass. So we need to take stock of what are the things that I want to see changed in my life? What do I want to accomplish this year? It could be just something small, whatever it is. What is it you want that God has promised? Is it something that is in your body? Is it something in your finance? God says he desires that we all prosper and be in health. So, Do I want something different or better? Do I want to grow in the things of God? What is it that you want? Well, then, if it's going to be better than last year, then you've got to decree it, just like the Holy Ghost said through Zena. You've got to speak it and say it, and even if you don't see how you're going to get there, it didn't say if you see how you're going to get there, say it. No, it says say it. And you're going to have, this is what Brother Hagin all talked about, confession precedes possession. Your confession precedes the possession of it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for or expected. So if I expect to get something, if I expect I'm going to have this, I'm going to do this. You know, last year there was something going on in my inside, and I didn't feel right. And for a good 5-6 months, and then it got worse and worse. And then finally, right around March of last year, I'm home. I just lifted up my hands and began to praise God. I said, "I believe, I receive." Nobody laid hands on me. I didn't get a special word. I just said, "I believe, I receive." And I heard down here, right down here, no evidence. Came right up out of my spirit, no evidence. So we're going to have to, and I mean within less than 2 weeks, it was like nothing existed there before. Gone. G-O-N-E, gone. Gone. And I noticed it the minute I started to praise God. I said, something's going. So we've got to begin to take what's promised to us. I'm not living in lack. I'm not going to live with some ailment in my body. I'm not going to. It didn't mean I'm not going to be challenged. Jesus was challenged. Stuff happened in his ministry. And so we're going to, it doesn't mean, oh my God, I'm confessing the word and my body had COVID symptoms. So what? You stand up and say, I'm not going to have this in my body. Now, it doesn't mean I don't go and get some checkup or something, but it also doesn't mean, oh my God, what am I going to do? And talk in fear. We're going to talk faith. It doesn't mean we're not going to be challenged. What is 1 Timothy 6:12? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life, right? You've got to take hold of the word of God. So when challenges come, that's what Brother Hagin said he would do. He'd just laugh. He said, why did he laugh? Because he knew that he had the victory. He knew greater is he that's inside me than that which I'm dealing with right now. So often, you know, you read those stories, or I have, and he said he was in bed and he said death gripped his body. He said he pulled the covers over his head and started to laugh. I thought, how many of us would laugh? We'd be quick going 911. He said he pulled the covers over his head and started to laugh. And he said within a short time, every symptom left his body. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that, but he was at a place where he knew that he knew that he knew that he knew that he knew, because he had been in bed for 16 months and every doctor told him he'd have to die. And when he got the revelation, the Holy Ghost said to him, well, people ought to be up at this time of the day. And he said, how many? He said he was paralyzed and he threw his legs over the side of the bed, grabbed the bedpost and slid down. And he said when he grabbed the bedpost, he said it was like honey, just whew, the anointing fell upon. He said, and it hit his body, and he said he stood up and started to walk. But revelation came, the light. He had been meditating on the word of God. He'd been meditating on it, and light came, and he saw it. He said, I'm healed. But he wasn't in the natural. That's why the Holy Ghost had to speak to him, because he would have stayed in bed. That's why when we keep confessing the word, there might be symptoms going on, and I'm confessing the word. It's not the time to say, how come ain't nothing changing? No, it is changing. It is changing, because my words are full of faith and full of power, and they are changing the symptom in my body. And that's why when the Holy Ghost said to him, well, people ought to be up at this time. That's why when the Holy Ghost said to me, no evidence, no evidence, no evidence in your body, that's faith talking. That's faith speaking. No evidence of lack in my finances. No evidence of sickness in my body. No evidence. And yet, you might say, well, there is evidence. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, expected. The evidence. What's the evidence? My faith is the evidence of things seen, not seen. So my faith has to decree what I don't see, what I don't have, what I'm not experiencing in the natural. That's what faith does. And so as we grow in faith, we need to move from just considering it. we need to move from, oh, I'm excited, I receive it, and not just considering, but we need to move to the place of, I got it. And I'm acting as if I have it. That's what Bible faith is. I've heard Mark Hankin share this. I've heard Brother Hagin. Faith is simply acting like the Bible is so. That's what faith is. Acting like I've got it. Acting like I have peace, even when I don't have it. Acting like I'm okay when things are going crazy. That's what faith is. Not talking about the problem. We know, what did Jesus say? He said the ingredients of faith, he went to Mark 11, 22 and 23. Have faith in God. What did it say? Talk about the mountain? It said no, talk to the mountain. Command it to do something. Be cast into the sea. It didn't say come on in and just take up residence. Didn't say that. So let's jump in today, because I was just sharing a little things from my heart. In 1 Peter, let's go over to 1 Peter. We were looking at this last week. We really, this beginning, starting in this year, we want to examine and look at the words that we're speaking and make the necessary adjustments and speak those things, because whether you realize it or not, the things that you say, you will receive. This is exactly what Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Whose tongue? Your tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So what is that saying? Your words are going to produce something. They're going to produce fruit, either good fruit or bad fruit. So 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 in the King James, we know this scripture. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. So we've been born again, and it says, which liveth and abideth forever. I like this. This is the Passion Translation. It says, for through the eternal and living word of God, you've been born again. And this seed, talking about the word of God, that he planted within you can never be destroyed, but will live and grow inside of you forever. That means that the word of God that's been sown into your heart will live forever and grow. So that means what you learn here, what is developed here, when you leave this earth, you're going to take it to heaven. So this ought not to be wasted time down here. We're going to see more when we get to heaven. We'll know more. But what you learn here, what you do and walk in faith here, you're taking to heaven. Isn't that exciting? Doesn't mean like, well, I guess we're going to, you know, we'll have to learn everything over, do something different. No, you're going to take what you learn here. I think that's exciting. Now, you know, I saw something. I hadn't seen this before. I hadn't seen it this particular way. But faith accompanies knowledge. What does accompany mean? It goes right along with it. So if you say, you know, you accompany someone, that means you're arm in arm, you're right with them, right? Faith accompanies knowledge. So you know how often we say, you know, you need to get more of the knowledge of God. Well, the entrance of his word bringeth light. So now listen to this. This is in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1, 5, and 6. It says, my son, Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So God's word was spoken, and that word gives us knowledge and understanding. And Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy word bringeth light. So light, faith, accompanies knowledge. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. I want you to see this. I think it'll help us some, a little bit today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined into our hearts to give what? The light of the knowledge. That has stuck with me for the last couple of weeks. The light of the knowledge. 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 So when knowledge comes, light comes. When knowledge comes, faith is there. Whew, that's powerful. So continue, because we always jump on to verse 13, which says, you know, when it goes on, it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as I believe, therefore I've spoken. But look at the verses preceding this, and look at it in the context of what Paul is sharing here. He said, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, this light, this glory, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. Look at the response. How are we to respond to problems in life? Look at verses 8, 9, and 10. Look at it. We are what? Troubled. So you're going to have troubles. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be what? Manifest in our mortal flesh, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. Then he goes on. This is how we are to respond to verses 8 and 9. What does it say? We having, see, he talking about all this, verses 6, the light of the knowledge, all of these issues and problems, and he says, but we having, he didn't say you're going to get it, he said you have it, the same spirit of faith. How did that come? The light of the knowledge. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. You know, the Amplified, let me just read from the verses 8 in 8 and 9 in the Amplified. It says, "We are hedged in, pressed on every side, troubled and oppressed in every way, but not cramped or crushed. We suffer embarrassments and are perplexed and unable to find a way out, but not driven to despair. We are pursued, persecuted, and hard driven, but not deserted to stand alone. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out and destroyed." So he's saying, you're going to have some thing. Paul did, but Paul had the same spirit of faith that Daniel had, that David had. You know, you just think about in the story of David and Goliath. When Goliath spoke, he tried. His words were received by the Israelis, and what? They feared, not David. What was David's response? He spoke to those words. He responded to those words in faith. So here's another. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. We talk about the light of the knowledge, the light of the knowledge. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, excuse me. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Talking about knowledge. This is wonderful. It says, "Grace and peace." Say, "Grace and peace." "Be multiplied unto you." How? Through the knowledge. Through the knowledge. Through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look what he says also in verse 3. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." How? Through the knowledge. "That hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Where are these promises? In the Word of God, in the knowledge. "That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." So the point we're making is that when light comes, or when knowledge comes, or when we said faith accompanies knowledge. So when the light comes, knowledge came. When you receive knowledge, light comes. That means faith is there. But just having faith without acting on it, what does James say? Faith without a corresponding action, without an action, faith without works is dead, being alone. So you may have light, you may have faith, faith may come, but if you don't act upon it, it doesn't produce. You can know something. In other words, when we went back to the sower sows the seed, when it says, when you understand something not, the devil comes to steal it. But what happens when you understand something? When you understand it, in order for it to bear fruit, that means it's got to be watered. And what does it say? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God who gave the increase. So when we see something, we must act upon it. When we see it and we are confident and we know, okay, I need to do this. I need to change this. Because when we speak that which we believe, you give license for the power of God to begin to move in your life. If you're just believing something without speaking it, then you haven't given it voice. Faith gives voice to that which it believes. Faith speaks what it believes. Remember, God just didn't think light be. He spoke light be. We are made in his image and likeness. So if we're going to have something produce in our life, what did it say? Death and life is in the power of your believing. It's in the power of your tongue. So you've got to move beyond just, I know I need to do this, I believe that. You need to act upon it. You know, there was something the Lord had stirred in me about starting to write something, write a book and do some things in that area. And he revealed that to me. He said, that's, you know, I'm going to give you that direction to go in. Knowing it, you know, I thought, well, I'll wait until he prompted. No, he prompted me. He said, you're going to do that. So I said, you know what? I'm getting off my and do it. You don't need to wait for an unction. I feel like no, he already revealed it. If he wants to change that direction, then it's his responsibility. Sometimes we need to get up and move. You know, I always say this, you can't steer a parked car. Even if you're going in the wrong direction, he'll steer you to get you back on track again, but you're doing something. Isn't that so? So we need to get up and move. What does that mean? We need to pray with people. We need to lay hands on the sick. We need to do some things for the kingdom of God. You know, I'm going to be more bold in that area. You know, sometimes we're waiting for, you know, we're waiting for a direction. No, he already gave us direction in the Word of God. He said, cast out devils and lay hands on the sick. He didn't say, when I lead you or direct you, you go lay hands on the sick. If you see somebody sick, may I pray with you? He already gave us direction to do that. Sometimes we're waiting for God to do something and move us, and he's saying, when are you going to move? When are you going to do something? When are you going to act on what you have seen in the Word? Is that so? It's so. So faith, this is something that I read from a book that I, some older books that I have, and it was written about This was the statement, our continual affirmation or confession has infinite value. Our confession or continual confession has infinite value. This is a statement that this person wrote. It says, the thing that made Methodism so mighty in its early days was a continual confession of the things for which Mr. Wesley stood. Now listen to this. This was somebody who lived in that era. He said, when they stopped affirming, faith stopped growing, and believing or acting upon the word became more difficult. So they stopped affirming what they believed. So operating in faith became more difficult. So continually affirming what you believe has infinite value. It constantly keeps you connected with the Word of God, something that you believe. You know, we all say things in the natural, things we believe, don't we? You may say something different, Minister Joe, you know, Tina and David, they may say something different, Donna. They may have something that they say, I believe this. But you do what? It's something that you continually affirm. Now, it may not have infinite value. It may have some other kind of value. But you can look back and say, you know, I say that a lot. So you need to continually affirm the Word of God and speak it, because what does it do? It creates it's like a shield of faith. You have that shield of faith up. It does what? Quenches the fiery darts. What fiery darts? The fiery darts of words that come. People say words. And what happens if you receive those words, you start taking on words that could be fear-filled words. So we need to think about it. Let's take a look here at Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 and verses 17 and 18. In this is the New Living Translation. It says, listen to the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my instruction. For it is good to keep these sayings in your heart and always ready on your lips. Listen to the Passion Translation. It says, listen carefully and open your heart. Drink in the wise revelation that I impart. You'll become winsome and wise when you treasure the beauty of my words and always be prepared to share them at the appropriate time. So we need to share the Word of God. So for the Word of God to work in our life, it must be on our lips. We need to get it into our heart. We need to speak it, meditate upon it. That's what consider means. I consider it. I meditate upon it. And I've come to some conclusion about the Word of God. And what do? I release it in my mouth. I speak it. So for salvation, think about it. For salvation to work, it must be in your mouth. I have to believe it and speak it. In order for healing to work, it must be in my heart and upon my lips. In order for prosperity to work, must be in my heart and spoken. Must be spoken. Now, let's take just a quick moment here. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13. And we know this story. I'm going to focus more towards the end, but at the beginning of that chapter, I believe God said that go into the promised land, I've given it to you. So the Lord spoke unto Moses, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. So these were not just, these were rulers in each tribe. So what they do, they pulled one, they sent in 12 spies. And we know the story. Starting in verse 30, it says, and Caleb, you know, they came back, you know, they went through the land, they searched the land, and they came back with things that represented that country. You know, they brought back of the good of that country. And it says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. In verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. How'd they know that? They got back. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in their own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. You know, the God kind of faith. God spoke to Moses and said, I give the land. So as far as they were concerned, those that had a spirit of faith, Caleb and Joshua, well, Caleb did anyways, and Joshua did also, but said, we can take this. Let's go in and do it. We're well able. Why? Because they believe God. Their trust was in God. So let me ask a question. Who got what they spoke? They all did. All 12 of them got what they spoke. All of them did. The 10 spies that brought up an evil report, they got what they spoke. They never got into the promised land. They wandered around. What? He took that generation and had them 40 years in the desert till they all died off. And Caleb and Joshua, think about it. They got what they said. And they eventually went into the promised land. So you ask yourself, for 40 years, they're wandering around the desert with those that murmured and brought up an evil report. What were they doing? What were they doing in that 40 years? You know what they were doing? They were training up that younger generation. They were training up the younger generation to go into the promised land because that's who they took. So we need to think about that. You know, when people just go, eh, that's okay. We're still here. I'm going to reach the younger people because they haven't been corrupted as much sometimes with unbelief. So we need to think about that. Joshua and Caleb spent 40 years, and I'll guarantee you they were training up a younger generation to go into the promised land because they did. Once everybody died off, that was of the generation that refused to go in, the younger generation did. They went in and took the land. Amen. So we need not set boundaries. I think this is what we were getting at here. And let's look at Matthew 16 and verse 19. We've been given dominion and authority. So our words, keep thinking about that. The words that we speak have authority. The mere fact that you are made in the image and likeness of God, your words will produce. Words spoken in faith. You know, people think, well, I thought about this time back a while ago. I said, well, you know, people may say, well, you know, I don't see how my words can create anything. Let me ask this question. You ever have somebody speak something in anger to you and get you riled up? Yeah. So did it affect you? Yeah. So people can speak words to cause people to fear. People can speak words to cause people to be angry. People can speak words to cause peace. People can speak words to create joy. So your words have power. Your words come from your heart. And when they're spoken in faith, they can influence and create. So we need to think about that. Matthew 16 and verse 19. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose or declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. And the Passion Translation, it says, I give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. So when Jesus spoke here, he said, when I give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm, this word keys means authority and ruling power. It means I'm giving you the authority to forbid or decree unlawful and this to be lawful. I'm making you the ruling one here. And then when it says here to release on earth that which is released in heaven, that means to forbid on earth must be that which is already forbidden in heaven, and that which is permitted on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. So, verse 18, Matthew 18:18 says, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. We're given that responsibility. Jesus is saying, you do it. I've given you authority. So if you don't like what you see in your home, if you don't like what you see in your neighborhood, if you don't like what you see on your job, then you have the responsibility to forbid something or to release something. You do. So the question is, what's forbidden in heaven? If it says, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. What's forbidden in heaven? Fear, sickness, disease, worry, anger, hatred, unrighteousness. We have the the authority to forbid that. Now, I can't take control over a person's will, but I certainly can take control and command that this anger or this hatred leave my area. I can command the influencer to leave. We have the right and the authority to do that. He said, I give you the keys of the heaven's kingdom realm. So what's allowed in heaven? So if it says that whatever you permit or declare proper or lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. What's permitted in heaven? Love, faith, joy, righteousness. So whatever we believe, we need to speak and command. You know, sometimes we're going, boy, I sure hope that things change in our government. I sure hope that things change in my local government here. I can't stand it. Well, now you're just talking about the problem. Are you talking to the problem? Are you commanding it to change? This goes back to something that Brother Hagin shared back when the Holy Spirit spoke to him in around 1970. And he said, I'm holding you responsible for the choices and decisions that the President of the United States makes and for what's going on in this country. I'm holding you responsible. And he said, well, he went back and he started to pray about it and he got some people to pray. And he said he didn't stick with it. And he said there were some choices made during that administration that weren't too good. And he said, the Lord said, I'm holding you accountable for even the decisions that the president makes. So sometimes we're murmuring and complaining when we've been given the keys of kingdom of heaven's kingdom realm. And instead of us talking about and complaining about personalities, I don't like them. Well, you are made to change things. You were given authority to speak and command it to change. And what ends up happening is we go, I don't see anything. I don't see no change. This isn't magic hocus pocus. How do you know? If you are convinced that the words that you speak are changing something, then they are. And we need to have, what does it say? When we have faith and patience to do what? And it says to inherit the promises of God. So you're going to need some faith and patience. But we've been given authority to take control over the situations. Because think about this. The devil has worked, the scriptures, 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is the god of this world. Adam was originally the god that he was given the authority over this earth. He messed up, and that authority was given to who? The devil. But thank God, through Jesus, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who now lives in me. That authority now has been restored back to mankind. So we thank God that now we can walk in dominion and authority. We can reign in life through Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 5. And so we need to start thinking about that more, that I am a king and priest unto God. I have dominion and authority over circumstances, not only in my life, but in my surroundings, in my area, in my community. And we need to walk that way. And God's trying to teach us that get your eyes off the things in the natural. What is 2 Corinthians chapter 4? I think at the end of chapter 4 it says, those things that we see are temporal, but the things that we don't see are eternal. So focus on eternal things. Focus on those things that make a difference and change things, right? So faith, when it comes, how does faith come? Through the knowledge of God, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So we need to meditate, feed upon the Word of God. Keep feeding on it. That's one thing. You know, I was thinking about this, something that Mark Hankin shared this. He said, you know, sometimes we get so busy that we don't spend enough time in the Word of God. We don't feed upon it enough. Because as we do, light comes, revelation comes, strength comes. And we will walk in a more victorious life as we do. So keep that in mind as we're embarking on this year. You know, I think about, just we'll close with this, talking about knowledge. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. In the King James, it says, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received the word of God, you received it not as the word of men, but as the word of God, which what? Effectually worketh in you that what? Believe. So the word of God will work in us when we believe it and speak it. And God is looking for us to walk a little more by faith and not by sight. Don't be moved by things that you see and hear. Things are going to get worse and worse. Men's hearts will wax cold. People will walk further away from the knowledge of God. But for us, let's walk in the light of God's word, in the knowledge of his word, and speak it. Speak it. You know, one thing, if you're going to have the best year that you've ever lived in 2022, you're going to have to believe it and speak it, and not believe it based on your condition. Because your condition might not reflect that, and you might be looking at your life saying, this year is the worst I've ever had. But the way to change that is to decree with your mouth, God is for me and not against me. James says, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. So I'm going to have his good and perfect gifts. Everything that pertains to life and godliness has been given to me through the knowledge of God. So it's all mine. It's there for the taking. The devil has tried to destroy our lives, destroy our families, destroy our money, destroy our bodies. And how do we confront it? Just like David confronted Goliath. You say, no, you're not. You're not. You stop. You're not coming here anymore. You're out. You're leaving my house. You're leaving my body. You're leaving my family. That's it. No more. And you do what? You take a stand. And you speak. That's just the way it changes. Amen. This is the best year that I will ever live. And you decree that, even when it doesn't look like it, because I'm going to have it. I am going to have it. You say, well, what about next year? Well, next year will be the best year I've ever lived. And the year after that will be the best year I've ever lived. You know, what did Paul say? Paul went through all kinds of stuff, all kinds of problems. And what did he say? Forgetting those things which are behind. Sometimes we need to forget the stuff that's behind. And it says, pressing towards the mark, or for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But what did he say? Forgetting those things which are behind. Sometimes the devil keeps bringing up stuff in your past, keep bringing up stuff, and you keep tripping over it. Forget it. Forget it. Forgetting those things which are behind, you press forward. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word, the light of your word. Thank you that we're walking in greater revelation, greater light than we did last year. We see more than we did last year. We know more than we did last year. And we're so thankful. And we believe to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, something that Leanne Sozeby shared, same principle, faith sees and speaks. She was complaining because Brother Hagin kept saying, I see the glory. I see the glory. And she said, I don't see the glory. She's turning around looking. I don't see it. I don't see it. How come I don't see it? And she said, he brought out that scripture. You know me. I've sent the greater one. I've sent the helper. You know me. I don't know you. But yet she's spirit filled. And he said, finally, the Holy Ghost said, are you calling me a liar? So we have got to confess, just like we say, this year is the best year I'll ever live. We have got to say, I know you, Holy Spirit. I know his voice. I see what he sees. I know him. I know his voice. And he leads me and guides me. Everybody says, well, I wish I knew what God. You know him. You've got to say it. And when you say it, he will reveal more. He will show you more. You'll begin to see more. But you're not going to. So what are you doing? Are you having the fruit of what you speak saying, I don't hear him, I don't see him, I don't know him? He said you do. So you need to say, I know him. He leads me into all truth. He leads me and guides me. He helps me. He shows me in everything I do. I will never come up short. I will never not know what to do. I know him. Even when you don't know, you're walking, you don't know, but you say, you know what? Thank you, I know. I'll know what to do. He shows me. He reveals to me. He never said he'd leave me. He said, I'll never leave you nor what? Forsake you. So that means I'll know. I'll know what to do. We'll never lack for anything. Nothing. That's exciting. That's something to rejoice, that no matter what I face, I know you. Paul had to say that. Look, shipwrecked, beaten, right? And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Glory to God. Praise God. God is good. I know him. I know him. We know him. We hear him. He leads us. And this is the best year we'll ever have. The best, the best, the best, the best, the best, the best, the best. And you need to say it right up and smack right up when it don't look the best. You say, no, no, it's the best. It's the best year I'm having. It's the best year I'm having. And laugh. Just laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Because the devil's defeated. He's the one that is trying to get you to do what? Despair. But no, no. No. Not at all. Praise God. Glory to God.